So we started our devotionals. I don't know how y'all are doing on your calendar. It's day three. I've kept up with the three goals. So hopefully we're doing that. And also day three on our devotionals. And today our devotional is from Ephesians 1, 11 through 14. And hopefully you're doing that. I think you're going to find those questions thought-provoking. And so I'm going to do this lesson tonight in Ephesians. And probably the next church devotional, which will be 4 weeks from now, because 2 weeks from now it's going to be the women's devotional. Okay, so I'll probably just do two midweeks in Ephesians, and then we're going to go on to do some other things. We're going to do some things about family, about one another passages. So that'll be great. So let's get into Ephesians a little bit. All right. So what about Ephesus? Well, tonight we're going to be talking about unity. Tonight we're going to talking about family. Tonight we're going to be talking about home, right? Because our theme this year is coming home. And I think the idea of family and unity and coming home is an appropriate lesson even tonight, because today was kind of a big moment in our country. We, as Louis alluded to, we had a new president sworn in, and I just pray that our country will be able to come to a greater level of unity through this new administration. Let's be praying for our national leaders. That's in the Bible, by the way. So Paul's writing to the Ephesians, and I like to give a little fun fact thing here as we're starting a new study. Ephesians probably was Paul's favorite church of all the churches he planted. He spent 3 years there, which is definitely longer than any other church that he planted. While he was there's a little riot, right? Long live Artemis of the Ephesians. Long live Artemis of the Ephesians. By the way, if you look on the screen for our PowerPoint, that's the theater. Jan and I actually were there. No, wait, Jan wasn't with me on that one. I took that picture, and that's the theater there in Ephesus. And here is the library in Ephesus. And so Paul stopped on the way back to Jerusalem after his third missionary journey, and he went to Troas, which was the seaport for Ephesus, and all the elders came there, and he basically shared his ministry and with the elders there in Acts 20, and it's probably the most emotional sermon that Paul ever preached that we have recorded, because he loved the church in Ephesus so much. And after that, he sent his right-hand guy, Timothy, to lead the church. And later on, the apostle John was in Ephesus for several years. And it was from Ephesus that he was sent into exile in Patmos. And John died there. And actually, if you go to Ephesus, this is the church that was built on top of the tomb where the apostle John was buried when he died. So let's read Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. It says 3 through 5. We're going to read 3 through 6. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which is freely given us in the one he loves. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. And one of those blessings we have in verse 4 is holiness and blameless. God has made us holy and blameless, perfect, pure, sinless, to be as if we were sinless in Christ. But the thing I want to focus in on for this lesson is the idea of adoption. It says here that we were chosen. And hopefully when you did that first devotion, we talked about what does it feel like that you personally were chosen by God to be part of his family. What a great thought. And there in verse 5, he predestined us to be adopted, to be his children. God chose you and God chose me to be part of his family. You know, this last weekend, Jan and I were watching a movie. I think the title is Instant Family. It's a pretty cool movie. I'd suggest you watch it if you hadn't. And it's about a couple that have no children, so they decide to adopt somebody. But it turns out they end up adopting three children. And, you know, there's something about being adopted, because when you're adopted, that means you were chosen. My parents didn't choose me. They chose to have a kid, but they didn't choose me. God gave them me. But for those of you who have been adopted, you are specifically chosen. So in that sense, we were orphans, right? Spiritually, we were orphans. I want to kind of demonstrate what that's like. We're going to look at a couple of passages. I want to look at an Old Testament passage in Ezekiel 16. From there, I want to go to Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 7. So I want us to kind of realize how separated we were, what it was like before we were included in God's family. We might have read Ezekiel 16 a little over a year ago. We did a sermon series from Ezekiel, but I want to go back there. I want to remind you of what we saw, because this was Israel's state before God adopted them as his children. By the way, this passage is kind of intense. If you have little kids, maybe even cover the ears, honestly. It's a pretty intense passage. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, confront Jerusalem with her detestable practices. See, this was us before we were included. We had some detestable practices as well, did we not? Say, this is what the sovereign Lord says to Jerusalem. Your ancestry and birth were in the land of the Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite, and your mother was a Hittite. And by the way, that's not a good thing. On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water or to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloths. No one looked on you with pity or had compassion enough to do any of these things for you. Rather, you were thrown out in the open field, for on the day you were born, you were despised. Then I passed by and I saw you kicking about in your blood. And as you lay there in your blood, I said to you, live. And I made you grow like a plant in the field. You grew and developed and entered puberty. Verse 9 says, and I bathed you with water, and I washed the blood from you, and I put ointments on you. And I clothed you with an embroidered dress. I put sandals of fine leather on your feet. I dressed you in fine linen and covered you with costly garments. I adorned you with jewelry. I put bracelets on your arms and a necklace around your neck. And I don't know about that, but I put a ring in your nose, earrings on your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. That's what God did. Because we were like, you know, a child left to die. But God adopted us. Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. Ephesians 2, back there. We're going to spend the rest of our lesson there in Ephesians. Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. So this is kind of the New Testament version of what was described about our condition outside of Christ there in Ezekiel 16. It says, as for you, you were dead in your sins and transgressions, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. That was me. I think that was you outside of Christ, before you came into Christ. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. That brings to mind the Ezekiel 16 passage. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we are dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. See, that's what we have in Christ. And God uses the metaphor of adoption repeatedly in the Bible in so many important places. And he was trying to tell us about a future he had when he was going to adopt us as his children. Think about Ruth. Ruth, who was adopted by Naomi. And because Naomi adopted her, she was able to marry Boaz, the father of Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David. And because of the grace that Naomi had, Ruth became the father of the greatest king of Israel, the mother, excuse me, and ultimately of Jesus through the lineage of David. So God foreshadowed our adoption through the loving adoption of by Naomi of Ruth. And also, Moses was adopted. Moses was adopted by Pharaoh. Pharaoh, who was the king, and the symbolism here is Moses being adopted by Pharaoh, the king, is like us being adopted by God, who is our king. And he was taken from slavery into the household of the king. And Moses became a prefigure of Jesus. And also Esther was adopted by Mordecai. She was her niece, but he adopted her as his daughter. And just like Moses saved Israel, Esther also saved Israel, becoming a prefigure of Jesus. And guess one more really, really, really famous figure in the Bible who was also adopted. His name was Jesus, because Joseph adopted him into his family. So God has adopted us. And because each one, you and I, and everybody sitting there in the room with you who's a child of God, because we've all been adopted by the same Father, guess what we are to each other? We are brothers and sisters. And it's a mystery. In fact, we're going to read that later on in our lesson. I want to go down to Ephesians 2, verse 11 through 19. Ephesians 2, verse 11 through 19. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called the uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of Israel. I'm sorry, foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope, and without God in the world. But, you know, I love that word, but. I really appreciate back there in Ephesians 2, 4, when it says, we are by nature's objects of wrath, but it says, but, because of his great love. And here he says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We were Gentiles. We were excluded. We were not part of the inner circle. It says, but for he himself is our peace, who has made the two to become one, has destroyed the barrier between us and God and between Gentile and Jew, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with his commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. We're part of the family. And again, he's talking about Jew and Gentile. And in that illustration, we're the Gentile. We're the ones who are not part of God's family. We were uncircumcised. We were separate from Christ. And we were excluded from citizenship in the kingdom of God. And brothers and sisters, we were without hope. And we were without God. But God adopted us as sons and daughters. We are spiritual orphans. But he's made the two one. He's made the 70 one. The 70 members of the Bakersfield Church of Christ. And he's destroyed the barrier. You know, in today's devotional, we talked about, God chose us, right? And one of the questions was, who in the church would you not have chosen? I did the quiet time together with Sean and with David. And Sean said, you know what, I'm kind of conservative, and I would not have chosen a liberal, you know? And I said, you know, I'm kind of a, you know, kind of a smart guy. I probably wouldn't have chosen, I don't know, less educated people, because we're not perfect, but God has made us one. And we've been adopted, and we are brothers and sisters, and we're family, and we're trying to make a home for other people to join us in that awesome, amazing family. In verse 14, it says, the two became one. And so we are mysteriously and mystically joined together as a family. The barrier between us and one another is broken, and the barrier between us and God was broken at the same time. And he's building us together in verse 18 through the Holy Spirit, because he dwells in every one of us. And because the Holy Spirit dwells in every one of us, we are being built together into a temple. We're no longer foreigners. We're no longer strangers. We're fellow citizens of the same house. There's no separate Holy Spirit for black and white, for old and young, for rich and poor, for male and female. We are one in Christ. And the dividing lines have been dropped. So there's obviously no dividing lines in our church at all. Well, honestly, we still have a few things to work on, don't we? But you know what? We're making progress. You know, I'd like to say look around, because they're not in the room. But if we were to take our fellowship and put them in a room, the diversity in our church is amazing. Not just diversity of culture and race, but also diversity of education level and age. We've got a pretty good distribution of age in our church. And it's a beautiful thing. I'm telling you, I can boldly, I can boast to anybody I meet, you need to come to the Bakersfield Church of Christ, because we are family. And it's only because of God. It's a wonderful, amazing thing. Let's go back to Ephesians and let's read a couple of verses, including the scripture for our today's devotional. I hope you're doing those daily devotionals. I'll hand out on Friday or Saturday. I'll hand out next week's. We're going to have about 21, 22 devotionals from Ephesians, and then we'll finish out the 4 weeks with some one another passages. So let's go back to Ephesians 2. Let's read verse 7 through 14. And basically, Ephesians 1 is just, it's just a litany. It's a list of all the blessings we have in Christ, none of which you had outside of Christ. None of them. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the time reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. There's that theme of unity, of being one in Christ. In him, we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purposes of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be the praise for his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our salvation. Guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. There's a few things we have in Christ. One of them, in verse 7, is redemption. We've been bought at a price. And forgiveness. And I love verse 8. It says, he has lavished on us. To lavish is to pour excessively. When you lavish something on people, you're tempting them to be spoiled. But notice here it says there, he lavished us with wisdom and understanding. God's not going to spoil us. But he poured out so many blessings on us. And he revealed to us the mystery hidden for ages and ages. What is that mystery? Well, in Ephesians 3, it says that the Gentile and Jew would come together. The hated enemies would become one in Christ. And he says, you have been chosen to be part of this family, to come home, to be joined and included. It's a beautiful thing. Now, does our family have problems? Yeah. Do we have even fights and arguments sometimes? Yeah, we do. But we've been chosen. And I love this. It says in verse 13, you've been included. I've been included. I'm part of this family. And when we have family gatherings, everybody's welcome. You don't have to worry about whether you're in the doghouse. We don't have a doghouse at this house. We just have a house. I don't know if you've ever been in the doghouse, but we took that thing, we tore that thing down. We don't have it anymore. In fact, let's read in Ephesians 3, 3 through 6, how he explains about this mystery. This mystery revealed only to us, only at the exact proper time. Verse 3 through 6, it says here, I'll start in verse 2. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. God brought us together. And, Jew and Gentile, progressive and conservative, rich and poor, every kind of person. We're a home. We're a family. And, you know, that's why our theme for the year is coming home. Because we want those who have left our home to come back. And by the way, for those of you who are there on Saturday, I want you to turn in that list so we've already assembled a list of, I think it's 31 people that we're going to be praying for. We're not just going to be praying for them, folks. We're going to be giving some phone calls, some texts, some emails. And if we can get an address, we're going to send them a packet. And we're going to have a feast. Because really, God already included them. And they've kind of absented themselves. And we're not going to judge anybody on that. We just want to welcome them home. And there are people out there who we're going to be welcoming home. In fact, I want to make an announcement, which is this Sunday, we're going to have a baptism. And it's going to be David Alvaro. And we're going to have another member included in our household. And we're going to go from 70 to 71. That's a beautiful thing. So let's finish up. I had to go pretty short because we had all these other things. But we've got some fellowship questions. And I want you, please, what we do sometimes on Wednesday night, like Cecilia and Karen, they'll kind of do a quick little, I don't know what they do, a Zoom or something like that. So please do it with somebody and ask yourself some of these questions, like, how does it feel to you personally to be adopted into God's family? And the second question is, what can you do personally to make our local church family feel more like a home? Because, you know, we're doing a pretty good job. I am proud, but I think we can do a better job. It's tough during COVID, but we're going to make it happen. So thanks for being here tonight. I don't know what time it is. All right, I think I've ended on time. I like to. 8:04, perfect. So let's have about 5 or 10 minutes of fellowship right there in your little family group. And then around maybe 8 or 10 after, Monroe will open up the Zoom fellowship and feel free to join us in the larger fellowship. Thanks, everybody, for coming tonight. Welcome home.